All right, we're going to go ahead and invite you to make your way back to your seat. I want to say thank you for being here again. Listen, Christmas is a special time, and one of the things I want to remind you of, a lot of us grew up maybe going to church, maybe in an old country church. When I was a college student at Howard Payne University, I was a ministerial student. I was a preacher boy. And what they would do for us is to get our feet wet, so to speak, they would send us out to these rural churches all over Central Texas on Sundays, and you never knew which one you were going to be going to, and they'd say, hey, we're going to send you out to this one and that one, and you'd get out there, and you never knew if it was even open. You'd drive up, and it looked like it was closed. It was out in the middle of nowhere, and you'd walk in, and it had a smell to it. Have you ever been to a church that has a smell to it? I mean, but here's the thing. And it may not, the heater may not have worked that Sunday. The air conditioner may not even had an air conditioner there. May have been 15 people or 20 people that are faithful. And yet there was something sweet and beautiful about these churches. And some of you may have grown up in churches like that. May this be the church you grew up in. And it's interesting how God gives us selective memory. Because when you're in those scenarios and in those situations, sometimes you look at those things as bad things or as terrible things. You know, why don't they get the air conditioner fixed? Or why don't we have an air conditioner? Or why do we do it this way? Or why don't they get that piano tuned? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I mean, all those kinds of things. But I have to tell you, the older I've gotten through the years, and I look back on those times when we'd go out and preach, a lot of times half the congregation fell asleep when I was preaching. So, you know, good luck. Good luck today. But it was interesting because it was always awkward and strange, but also beautiful. And I want to invite you to kind of go back there. I want you to go back to the church you grew up in. Now, maybe you didn't grow up in church. And by the way, I didn't grow up in church. So being unchurched until I was basically 18 years of age, I had opportunities where my grandmother on my dad's side, Artie Bell Pruitt, she would take all of us kids. We'd spend the night on Saturday night at Artie Bell and Peanut's house. That was my granddad, my pawpaw. And we'd spend the night, and he would never go to church, but Artie Bell would always take us to church. And we'd always go to her church. And I grew up just off and on getting to go into those churches and those kind of churches. She would take us to Vacation Bible School during the summer. I remember churning butter in Vacation Bible School and cutting and pasting and doing all kinds of interesting things. But here's the thing about that. There were seeds of the gospel planted in my life during that time. And for me, it took many years for those seeds to come to start to germinate and come to fruition. And so it was finally at 18 years of age when all that began to come alive inside of me. It's interesting now because I look back on those times and what may have not always been perfect, and maybe it wasn't always polished. The church didn't have a great sign in the front, or they didn't have big speakers or a digital, you know, board, LED board behind us and all the sound and whiz-bang we have back here. We didn't have any of that. But one of the things they did have is they had the love for God. They had a love for Jesus. And they took that love for Jesus and transplanted it into us and handed it down to the next generation. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a praying grandmother. Are you? Well, thank God for praying grannies and praying moms. Probably half of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. Amen. Well, I want to do something for you. I was driving down the road a few weeks ago. I was listening to Hello Fred. Anybody checked out Hello Fred yet? I was listening to Hello Fred, and a song came on that I'd never heard before. And I have to tell you something, it wrecked me going down the road. I was like, what is happening here? My heart was growing like the Grinch, you know, two sizes, you know. I'm just like, what is happening? And I mean, I just found myself crying as I was listening to the song. And the reason was is because it took me back and it reminded me of my spiritual heritage. And I want to invite you to do that tonight, just for a minute. You don't have to close your eyes or anything, but I want you to think back to some of those sweet times in those churches that maybe weren't so fancy and had all the stuff, but they were sweet, and there was something that happened there where God touched your life and spoke into your life. And maybe for some of you, we have our kids in here with us this time during this service, and maybe for them, this will represent that for them someday. It'll be a part of their spiritual heritage. But it's good to pause and remember where we came from. and to be thankful and to remember the out-of-tune piano. Or remember I don't know if you remember, but they would sing a special song at the service. Remember those? Sometimes it was wonderful and sometimes it wasn't so wonderful. But it still was because their heart was there and their heart was in it. And so I've been spending some time, and these holidays do this for me. They sort of just make me go back and remember. And again, having the gift of selective memory, I don't remember all the bad stuff. I remember the good stuff. So I want you to do that right now. I want to invite Cameron Green to come up. Dan's already here, Dan Sechrist. Could you welcome Cameron up? And Dan, so appreciate them so much. And so after I heard this song, we reached out and just said, hey, got a song. Would you do this for us on Christmas? And so I want you, the words are going to be up on the screen. So I want you to relax. And I want you to really listen with your heart to the words to this song. And this could be your story. And if it's not your story yet, it could be your story in the future. So Cameron, Dan, thank you so much. Pastor Russ, thank you.
There's a little white church on a hill with a steeple still attached. When all those cars drive by, they don't know what they just passed. There's no fancy signs, one service time, and the door's always unlocked. It's the first place that I saw the hand of God. So you couldn't tell me there wasn't healing in those walls. And you couldn't tell me that angels didn't walk those halls. On a Wednesday night, Sunday morning, we didn't have much. But Jesus loved it. If you want to know why I am the way I am, it's the church I grew up in. There were tear stains in the carpet and communion in the back. And no one there was perfect, but we tried our best. And the mother's prayer still in the air for the ones who walked away. And the only thing that kept us was God's grace. So you couldn't tell me that there wasn't healing in those walls. And you couldn't tell me that angels didn't those halls. On a Wednesday night, Sunday morning, we didn't have much, but Jesus loved it. If you want to know why I am the way I am, it's that church I grew up in. Church bells, they still ring. It's where I learned the gospel and my mom taught me to sing. And you can try to tell me that the church isn't alive today, but I know that it is. So I'll tell my kids that there is healing walls. Oh, there's angels dancing down these halls. If It's a Wednesday night, Sunday morning, you don't need much, 'cause Jesus loves it. If you want to know where my history began, if you want to know why I am the way I am, it's the church I grew up in. So much. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Somebody should say, wow. 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 Thank you so much. I really appreciate them doing that. A lot of times in church, we'll preach messages that hit the head. You know, we try to bring something of substance and meat and power and all of that and rich content, but sometimes, like these kinds of services, we need to come here and actually feel something, actually rest into God's presence, rest into the fact that we are family here. We are spiritual family, and you may be extended family, you may be a guest today, but you're still family, and our friends online as well, you're family, and it's important and it's necessary. I've always said through the years that I feel like I'm the best person I can be when I'm here with the body of Christ and in the church. I'm unapologetically a church nerd in the sense that I love church. I love being here and I love being with you and I love meeting new people and getting to know new people. And every time I leave this place, having met new people and been introduced to people from other places or whatever, or just having a family reunion in the hall with some of you that have been here a long time, longer than me, every time I leave, my life is enriched. I feel like I've expanded, that I leave larger than when I came in, because something about your life and Christ in you, the hope of glory, it touches my life and it makes me a better person, makes me a better Christian, makes me a better follower of Jesus. Scripture talks about how iron sharpens iron, just like one friend sharpens another. And that's what happens when we come together. The truth is, though, we know when iron sharpens iron, sparks fly. Amen. Sometimes that happens too. You know what? That's a part of it as well. And so I hope something like this and a moment like this will help you sit back a little bit and be thankful for your experiences in church life, even the hard ones, even the difficult ones that caused you to rethink things and caused you to pause and caused you maybe to go to your knees. But realize that they're all important and they're all necessary. They're a necessary part of the journey. One of the things I wanted to do this evening with you is simply keep it simple. I use the KISS acronym. You know what that means, right? Keep it simple, saint. Some of you went somewhere else with that. So we're going to keep it simple tonight. I'm going to read the Luke Christmas narrative. It's out of Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I won't give much commentary tonight, so I'll share this with you, just like we would in those little bitty churches that we were in. The birth of Jesus Christ, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the end. Here we have the Sports Center version of the birth of Jesus, the short version, the highlight reel. And it's short and to the point. But the birth of Jesus, the reason Jesus was born was so that you and I could be born again. He came. I love the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message Bible. He put on an earth suit and moved into the neighborhood. God Himself becoming man. It's called the incarnation of Christ, where He emptied Himself of His deity, emptied Himself, as Philippians chapter 2 tells us, of who He was willing to come to this earth and be birthed just like you and I, through a woman, through a female, in the natural birth, just like we did. Grow up, suffer, experience all of the things there are to experience in life, to experience beautiful moments and also terrible tragedies, to experience life, encouragement, hope, but also to suffer and to learn what betrayal means and what pain is. He experienced all those things just like we do. So we have a Savior, we have a Lord who we can relate to and who can relate to us, who gets it and gets us. Something happened after the birth, and the story continues in verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Why would they be filled with fear? I thought angels looked like the Gerber baby on the baby food bottles. No, actually, angels were terrifying and intimidating. Their beauty was so overwhelming. Their presence was so imposing that people would often faint in their presence. There was a reason why when angels showed up, the first words were usually, "Do not be afraid," or "Fear not." Why? Because there was much to be afraid of. By definition, angel means messenger. They were messengers of the Lord. And all these angels show up to make an announcement. Not to the kings, not to the governors, not to the mayors, not to the leaders, not to the Sanhedrin, not to the civic and religious leaders of the community, but they show up to a group of lowly shepherds who are out tending their flocks and doing what they do. Unnoticed, job that was thankless, not glamorous, not glorious. Many of the sheep that they were tending out there were sheep who would be bred specifically for sacrifice later. And so like sheep led to slaughter, they literally were. And they were out doing their jobs. And they were filled with great fear. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, there it is, "Fear not." Why? Because they probably were afraid in the moment, right? I know I would have been. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, I love the "and suddenlies" of God's word. And suddenly there was the angel. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, now you got to park yourself in this moment just for a second. I mean, can you imagine, first of all, how amazing it would be, how glorious it would be to have one angel show up? But suddenly there is a multitude of the heavenly host. The heavenly host is referred in Scripture several times. And it could have numbered into the thousands and the thousands of thousands and the hundreds of thousands. But they suddenly saw this grand arena, this grand array of the heavenly host. And no telling what they look like. Otherworldly for sure. And here they are praising God in unison. Can you imagine being at that scene? Here you are, a shepherd, tending your sheep, doing a thankless, kind of an ugly job where you're leading them to slaughter, to be killed. and be sacrificed. And suddenly, you get a 50-yard seat. You get front row seats to the concert, and there it is, this amazing array of beings, the heavenly host. And they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Yeah, can you imagine being there and the shepherds saying, "Let me tell you what just happened. This angel showed up and told us not to be afraid," because we were. And then the whole canopy of heaven opened before us, and we saw the heavenly host praising God. I can only imagine what that was like. I've been in some pretty amazing moments where there was a lot of praise going on. I'll never forget being at a Promise Keepers event at Texas Stadium. Remember Texas Stadium in Dallas? And I remember being there with thousands, tens of thousands of men worshiping God together. It was a moment that I'll never forget. It was thunderous. I remember being at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas as a student. I remember Dr. Leifblad, one of the professors of hymnology and worship, got up and he rehearsed the entire school body before he would let us sing a hymn. He didn't just get up there and lead us in a hymn. He got up there and rehearsed us and made everybody do their parts. And by the time we got to the time to actually sing the hymn together, it was thunderous and it was glorious, because he took the time to bring out the excellence in us together. Can only imagine what hearing the heavenly host declare God, praise God, and worship God. Can only imagine what that must have been like. It says this, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, the baby, Jesus, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And now we have the birth of Jesus, and his life begins. His earthly life begins. He's no longer just Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is now the Son of Man, the Son of Flesh, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But now he's literally among us. And that's where we pick up that story. We leave that off. Now, I want to go back to where we started this series 4 weeks ago. We started with a verse that maybe you know about. And I said, we're going to start here. Then Pastor Brian and I are going to reverse engineer this verse back to the beginning. It was John 3:16. May have been one of the main verses you learned as a young person. Maybe it's the first verse you ever learned. But I know for me, it's one of the greatest summaries of the gospel in the whole Bible. One of the shortest summaries of the gospel. I'll read it for you. You'll see it on the screen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Did you know that he's talking about you literally? We are the world. I'm not going to sing the old song, "We Are the World," but we are the world. And the Bible says he so loved you and he so loved me. And even as I say that, there's somebody looking at me right now, maybe here, maybe online, and you're saying, "He doesn't love me. I'm a mess. I've made terrible mistakes. I have failed miserably as a human being." Or maybe you were told you were unworthy, told that you wouldn't amount to much, told you'd never really make it. And maybe somewhere along the line you started to believe that, and it started to come out in your behaviors like that. You begin to project that. But I'm here to tell you something. God so loved you. You. Yes, you. You and all your mess. You and all your dysfunction. We have a sign on the wall, brought it up on Sunday. It's been coming back to me a lot. 9 years ago when Annette and I got here, I just had this one Sunday. I mean, it might have been a Wednesday night. I was sharing something, and that wall was much more blank than it is because the ducks weren't there and the speakers weren't hanging there. And it's just a big blank wall. And I looked over at that wall, and just in my mind's eye, I saw painted on that wall a sign. Can anybody tell me what it says? Some of you remember. No perfect people allowed. By the way, it's still there. It's an invisible paint. Somebody asked me, we have a lot of artists in our church, really amazing, capable artists. One offered to paint it as a mural on the wall, and I said, no, we're going to keep it invisible because I want us to remember it, not as something we see, but something we know. And so it's still there on that wall for all of us to see. There are no perfect people allowed. I tell people in the community, because sometimes I'll meet people at HEB or wherever out and about, and they'll say, oh, you're the pastor at the Bridge. We've been thinking about coming to your church or coming to see you. You know what I say to them? I'll ask them a question. Are you perfect? That always takes them back a little bit. I'm like, well, no. And I'll say, good, you can come to our church. See, Jesus came and died for all of us in our mess, family. For God so loved you, God so loved me, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, we always put a period here, and in the actual Greek language, there's not a period there. The sentence keeps going. In fact, most of the New Testament is one long run-on sentence. Listen to this. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Right into verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be what? Saved. Remember, who's the world? Say it. We are the world. It feels corny to say it after hearing that song, and now it's pinging in my mind. I won't be able to shake it. But we are that. That's who he's talking about, you and me. He came so that we, the world, might be saved through him. I don't know where you are on your journey of faith. We took a little stroll down nostalgia lane with that song and just thinking about our spiritual heritage. And so we're all in very different places right here in our journey. Some of you maybe have not even started that spiritual journey in terms of stepping over the line and going all in with Jesus and doing this, accepting, believing, saying yes to the Lord. We say around here, we say, yes, Lord. And then we say, now what do you want me to do? We have to come to a point where we give our yes to God, and then we wait for the question. We wait for the orders. We wait for the mandate. And so maybe you've not even come to that point in your life, or maybe you've walked with God, but for whatever reason, life has happened, you've gotten distracted, and right now, it's just kind of, there's some distance in that relationship. We all know what that feels like, where we feel separated and feel like our prayers aren't even making it past the ceiling these days. Well, listen, you're in good company. There's a lot of us that go through these times, and that may be you, and maybe you need to go back and return to your heritage and remember who you are in Christ and say, yes, Lord, again. But maybe you are walking with him, and maybe things are going well, and you're hitting on all eight cylinders, so to speak. So things are going good, and right now is a good time to, again, say yes, Lord. So wherever you are, I want to invite you to say yes, Lord, tonight. As we remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate him. We press pause on all the activity, the busyness, the football games, whatever it is. And we just say, thank you, Lord. And we remember why we're here. And we remember what this season is all about. We call the series Christmas a season of reasons, because there's a lot of reasons that we're here. But for whatever reason God brought you here, it's no accident that you're here tonight. It's not because your loving grandmother made you come to church tonight. May have felt that way. I know there's these expectations, right? I get it. But you're here because you're supposed to be here tonight, and you're supposed to hear this tonight. So I'm going to invite you to do something. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a minute? And then we'll be gone in just a few moments. Flint Avenue Baptist Church, Lubbock, Texas. I was in the fifth grade. And a preacher preached a scary sermon. It's like the third time I'd ever been in church in my life. And when he got to the end, he said, "If you want this," he said, "I just want you to look up at me." And this, I was a little kid, and I looked up, and I'm like, "I don't know what all this is about, but I like this Jesus guy. I like this. I want to know Jesus." And I'm not going to ask you to look up at me tonight. I'm going to ask you, right where you're sitting, to in your mind and in your heart say, "Yes, Lord." Just say yes to Him. And then let Him begin to show you what that means. He'll begin to parse that out for you. He'll break it down for you. But you got to start with yes. You got to start with yes. "Here I am. Send me." So I'm going to invite you to do something tonight. We're going to all do it out loud together, but it may be the first time you're doing it for you. But we're going to do it together because we don't want anybody to... We're all at different places in the journey, but it's good to return back to the spot. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of simply doing what John 3:16, 3:17 says, and that is to believe and to receive Him. So we're going to do that together. So I'll pray, and then you just pray right back to me, and we'll do this together. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for being born so that I can be born again. I say yes to You. Now, what is Your question? Lord Jesus, I confess to You I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes. I've had missteps. And I need Your help. And I need Your life in my life. I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I choose to believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. I receive You into my life. I give You my past. I give You my present. I give You my future. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name." God's people said, amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a big hand? Just thank Him for being here. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.